Do you feel like the lone man? Here you have Timothy McVeigh that you began to distrust because his story was falling apart. You couldn't believe him. Then you have the government over here who there is some distrust and you can't believe either. So both sides you have a huge question mark about. Are you standing alone in between these two?
No. That's an exaggeration of my role at all, and I don't claim that for myself. I did tell Tim one time, I said, you know, Tim, I do think it's ironic that only you and Joe Hartzler believe the theory that you did it. Joe was, of course, the chief prosecutor. And the one and only time that Joe and I socialized, he was a difficult man to get to know. I'm sure many people would say the same thing about me, but our understudies, Larry Mackey and Rob Nye, got us together one night at dinner at Morton's in Denver. Joe asked me, said, did it ever occur to you that Vincent Canestrero and his story was just lying? I said, well, let's see, Joe. Let me think about that for a second. You're saying that the director of operations for the counterterrorism desk of the Central Intelligence Agency committed a felony when he telephoned the principal FBI special agent in New York on terrorism cases and reported to him that sources in Saudi Arabia had told him about the Oklahoma City bombing. No, I didn't consider that Vincent might be lying. Now, could he lie to me? Sure. Could he lie as an ABC consultant? Sure. Lie to a special agent of the FBI that he had known for years about information given to him by the intelligence service? What was Vincent's motive? Why would he do that? No, I didn't consider that he was lying.
From your book, Others Unknown, you saw little concern for justice in the functioning of the Justice Department, less respect for the law, still less passion for the truth. You saw an arrogant clan of bureaucrats hell-bent on winning.
Yes.
A few comments about that.
That was my impressions at the time, and I haven't seen anything in the 15 years since the bombing that has caused me to subtract any of that.
Less passion for the truth. That just seems, I don't know what word to use. If they didn't have passion for the truth here, then when?
Well, the history of government, or at least agents of the government, employees of the government committing perjury, obstruction of justice, convicting innocent people, that's not unique. Whole books have been written about that subject. I will tell you, though, and I don't mean that I'm so certain in my own opinion, part of this comes from my experiences with others, and someone that I deeply respect is Arlen Specter. I've known of Mr. Specter's career and his work ever since the Warren Commission when I was a Republican nominee for the United States Senate. He was very gracious to me. I did not know that he had attended OU and that he had played football for Bud Wilkinson. Probably something of Arlen Specter's life that's not generally known. He was very supportive of me during my work for Mr. McVeigh and telephoned me two or three times. He was a senior member of the Senate Judiciary Committee. After the trial was over, he called me personally. Well, he called me personally several times, but he called me personally after the trial was over. He said, Mr. Jones, I've talked with whoever the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee was at the time, and he said, I want to know if you will agree to come to Washington and testify in front of a subcommittee of the committee about this. I said, well, I will, Senator, but there are some things, obviously, I can't discuss. He said, well, I understand that, but I watched your 60-minute interview, and I'm like you. I don't think the full story has been told. I said, well, when would you like for me to come? He gave me a date, and I said, well, I'll come. I have to come east anyway. So I was actually in New York City maybe 2 days before I was supposed to be in Washington, and it was on a Monday, as I recall. I was in my hotel room, and the telephone rang, and I answered it, and it was one of Senator Specter's assistants. He said, Mr. Jones, Senator Specter has asked me to call you and tell you that you don't need to come to Washington. I said, okay, I understand. Can you elaborate? He said, yes. He said, the senator specifically asked me to tell you that the Department of Justice had been in contact with him and asked him to not have the hearing and that they would make it worth his while not to have it. But they would do something for him. And the senator said, you would understand. I said, well, I do understand. Please tell the senator that I thank him for his honesty. Our inspector was so good to me a couple of times when I was running for the Senate and during the McVeigh case. And I have to be frank, so was Jim Inhofe and Don Nichols. As Senator Inhofe called me a couple of times in my office at night, and another time he told the press, he said, I don't see why everybody's on Stephen Jones's back. He didn't ask for this. Somebody's got to do it. I later wrote to Senator, I'd run for Attorney General the year he'd run for governor. We were on the ticket together and thanked him. And Don Nichols saw me at the airport in Washington one time and offered to give me a ride into town and talk to me. And I said, no, I have a car. You go on. All my criticism, as I was making before, it didn't include the two senators. They were pretty supportive. I mean, I got to tell you, they were supportive, as was Judge Mates. Judge Mates probably more than anybody else. He is a wonderful man.